Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Volunteer State Basketball Edition. First time this year that we are delving into the boys from Thompson Bowling Arena and Pratt Pavilion as Vols Memphis is coming up on Saturday, second meeting of three between these two programs. I'm Mike Wilson, your host, joined by the wonderful, highly esteemed, insightful John Adams.
Actually, I'm not any of those things, Mike, but it sounded okay. That's
fine. I thought it sounded really good.
Yeah, but it's the kind of thing you would say about anybody, so it really has no meaning.
Yeah, I do.
If you had anybody on, I mean, you would say, hey, award-winning blah, 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 so what?
But I believe these things about you, John.
Oh, okay, well, then that's different.
I believe these things as much as Penny Hardaway believes that Tennessee players balled up their fists last year.
Yes, they did.
And with that, we're off and rolling. So our subject today, John, we're going to talk about this. Tennessee and Memphis, you know, have a three-year agreement right now. Last year, Tennessee won in Memphis. They play in Knoxville this Saturday. Nashville next year is a kind of day that Rick hopes is a triple header or something to that extent. Rick Barnes hopes is a triple header. But what I'm curious about is, does Tennessee need Memphis on its schedule? And we're taking out here, I mean, I think both you and I have the same stance on, for the state, it's a game that should be played. But from a strength of schedule perspective, does Tennessee need to play Memphis?
No, Tennessee has probably one of the stronger schedules in the non-conference schedules in the SEC. Its schedule is fine, but this is a pet peeve of mine. I think the overall scheduling, and again, Tennessee is ahead of the curve, but I think meaningless games, I don't think you should schedule any of them in basketball. You don't have to worry about a loss. Your strength of schedule will carry you through with the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee in most cases. They put that, they make that very important, and they make that very clear. Former SEC Commissioner Mike Sly, when he was on the selection committee, he realized how important that was, and he had everybody try to upgrade its schedule. Some did, some didn't. But I just think, no, they don't need it. But I just think you should try and make every game meaningful. And I think this series, though, has a chance, a potential, because they're both in the same state. You saw what happened last year. There was a lot of stuff said, and Penny Hardaway talking about Tennessee players talking trash and piling up their fists. I don't know. That was an odd comment. I don't know where that came from. And Rick Barnes like, well, what are you talking about?
Perhaps my favorite moment of all of that was Penny Hardaway doubling down on it 2 days later. Yeah, like, watch
film. I know.
Watch the film. I'm not lying. He's like, well, okay.
Yeah, here's the thing, Mike. I just think this has a chance to be a tremendous rivalry.
I agree.
And so it's not like playing a good team in Washington or playing Gonzaga or playing Iowa, Purdue, or whoever. It's because of the extra stuff, I think this could be a rivalry, not quite at the level of Louisville or Kentucky, but certainly bigger than anything else in the SEC. I don't think there could – I think it could surpass every other rivalry in the SEC non-conference. I just don't think Clemson and South Carolina basketball is a big deal.
Yeah.
Florida and Florida State's not that big a deal. The programs are pretty good sometimes, but I don't get the feel about it that I do. And I think part of it is because Memphis is a good basketball town and Tennessee's Knoxville is a really good basketball town. So that's why I think it's important to play – this game and keep playing it.
So, you know, I agree. I think from a rivalry perspective, it's great. I absolutely should play. Great to pit the opposite sides of the state against each other. From my perspective, so here's Tennessee's non-conference, what they've got this year on the strength end. They played Washington and Toronto, Florida State and VCU in Destin. They'll have Kansas on the road as part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. They get Wisconsin in Knoxville this year and Cincinnati on the road. That's a schedule to me that Memphis sure is probably better than all of those teams except for Kansas. Florida State's right in that mix right now, too. They've had a great start, but you don't need a Memphis on that schedule to come March, have a better strength of schedule. It's already a strong schedule.
Oh, I agree with that. I'm not saying Tennessee it doesn't have to have this, not for strength of schedule. I think it will. Every tough team, though, you play helps your strength of schedule. But I also think that this rivalry has a chance to grow. And you can look at, just like playing Kentucky, now that's an SEC opponent. I think this is the game other than Kentucky that fans would be more revved up for than any other.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I think Memphis fans are going to pick up on this too. And so it's, I remember going when Bruce Pearl was here in Tennessee, Memphis are 1-2 playing in Memphis. The only atmosphere that I could say surpassed that in a regular season game was at Rupp Arena. So I just think it elevates Tennessee's program by playing Memphis. I'm not talking about necessarily about strength of schedule, but I'm talking about this is the kind of game you want on national TV.
Oh, for certain. To look back, though, so Rick Barnes, in his tenure at Tennessee, the home and homes they've had are North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and like we mentioned, they're in the middle of Cincinnati and Wisconsin. Got the holiday tournaments every year. They go to Charleston next year, which, again, features Florida State and VCU, Houston, Oklahoma State, Penn State, Seton Hall. Strong field again. So they'll have Memphis again in the schedule next year. So there's a remark yesterday from Rick Barnes I thought was very interesting when, you know, he obviously got peppered with the, are you going to renew the series with Memphis? Because it's a three-year deal that expires after next year's meeting in Nashville. And I'm going to read the parts I thought were interesting here. There's a lot of really good basketball teams in this state, and there's no way we can play every team in this state, and we are the state university. We have opportunities just like I said they do. I think other teams in the state do. I thought that was interesting. That to me says they want to be making sure to be playing the ETSUs, the MTSUs in those. And it's a convenient thing as well to say, well, you know, if this series doesn't get renewed, it's because we're going to do some other things in the state of Tennessee.
I don't buy that. I think what that's aimed at, I think that's saying, hey, Memphis isn't that big a deal. We could be playing ETSU or we could be playing.
ETSU is a good program right now. Let's keep them. It's not a Memphis.
No.
Steve Forbes has a good situation there.
I know, but it's not at the level of Memphis.
Certainly not.
It's almost as though he's putting Memphis in the same category with everybody else in the state. Mm-hmm. It's just another in-state program that the state university, University of Tennessee, should play and try to help all these other programs and go around the state. No, I don't buy that. I mean, Memphis to me is different. Memphis has a great tradition, a longstanding tradition in basketball. Some of it good, some of it not so good if you get into the NCAA sanctions and so forth. But I just think this series has the potential to be something very exceptional that you don't get a lot in non-conference college basketball.
Certainly. Now, this is an interesting one I want to pose to you here. So the other part of this quote was Mike Schwartz, associate head coach at Tennessee, has taken over Tennessee's scheduling, is what Rick said. Said he does me with it every day. And Rick's quote was, I will tell you every week he probably gets 10 to 15 calls from people that want to play, and we call people. But it's hard to work out because of prior commitments and things like that. It's not as easy as everybody thinks. So my question to you is, what would be some matchups we'd like to see on Tennessee's schedule in the future? I mean, assuming at this point, it doesn't sound like the Memphis series is going to be renewed. And to me, that's in Rick Barnes's court. Penny Hardaway has said he thinks it should be played. I think this does come down to Rick Barnes deciding whether or not, or someone at Tennessee flexing on Rick Barnes and saying, you're playing them. I don't think it's going to get renewed from what I gather. I think the comments kind of indicate that at this point. So who would be some teams that you think would really be awesome to have a home and home with for Tennessee?
Okay, right off the top of my head, let's have Tennessee play UCLA.
Why?
Because Tennessee, UCLA wanted Rick Barnes as its coach. I mean, UCLA is a tremendous tradition and all that kind of good stuff. Play the University of Texas.
Now, that's a game I know is not going to happen. You know, it's funny because every year the Big 12 SEC thing comes up and Rick Barnes goes, I'd like to play Texas. It's always like, not really.
Okay, if not Texas, then how about Oklahoma?
That would be a good one. Lon Kruger, longtime head coach there too. That would be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, how about Michigan?
Michigan and Michigan State are the two that come to mind. I mean, as a Michigan State alum, I'd love to see Tom Izzo, Rick Barnes duke it out there. I think they had one in the tournament a while ago, which might have been Rick Barnes' only Final Four year, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, Michigan and Michigan State, both with the level of programs they have, that would be fun.
Duke
right away off the bat. Duke, see that North Carolina series maybe come back. Yeah, I think there's a lot of possibilities that you say, oh, that could be a really fun home and home.
I think one of the reasons you want to do that is you want to try and advance your program as much as you can, and you want to be talked about in those kind of circles. You're, mm-hmm. You want to be in that category. And no, Tennessee isn't a basketball blue blood. It's not Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, North Carolina, or even Michigan State, but it can be closer to
Indiana
that realm.
Indiana would be a fun series, too.
Indiana would be, that would be a really good series. Mm-hmm. Because Indiana, again, with all the tradition and so forth.
Complete blue blood, yeah.
I tell you who I would like to, well, it's played Purdue in a tournament, mm-hmm. preseason
they
tournament.
Purdue seemingly five times a
I
year
know,
somehow.
They, but I like, Purdue has a good program.
They do.
And that was a great game last year.
I like the Wisconsin schedule. That's a similar brand of basketball. Wisconsin's just not very good this year.
No, but usually it is.
Yes.
And really, I mean, go back to last season, and who's the defending national champion? I mean, Virginia, to me, that would be a problem. That, mm-hmm. that program is rolling right now. And I think it would be, I think one of the things you want to do in scheduling, I mean, to me, you should want to have attractive games.
Yes.
That bring attention to your program. And you also want to reward your fan base.
And your players. You want to take your players to these cool environments. I mean, you want to have the opportunity for these guys to go and play at a Duke. I mean, a special place
sure.
like that. I mean, that's a huge deal to go and play there.
Well, I think it's a recruiting tool.
Agreed. Completely.
To say, and that gets back to Memphis. When Memphis just signed the number one recruiting class in the country. So you tell your guys, we're going to play against the best players in the country. You can test yourself against whoever from Memphis or Kentucky or whatever. You want to. That's attractive, I think, to recruits. And I just think, you know, you go through all of these, any of these games, I think it can set Tennessee apart from some other programs. It's already done that in some ways. Tennessee has the chance to be the number two program in this conference.
It certainly does. Yeah, I think you're probably battling right now with Florida to hold that title.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly Florida's had more success. It's won two national championships.
But Tennessee has the better facility for that, bigger fan base for that. Certainly, you're in that conversation as the number two every year you should be.
I agree. And one thing I think it's important too, Mike, if I'm in college basketball, you know how it is. I mean, you're trying to win every game you can, but you also know that March means so much mm-hmm. more than December or even January and February. So I would like to have my team play different types of teams.
And that's
good teams.
You know, you mentioned earlier not scheduling the cupcake-y type teams or what they appear to be. That's something you'll always hear coaches talk about is, okay, we're going to play this team. You know, they're not highly regarded, but they play a style that we could see later in the year. And that's a big deal.
That's good. I mean, I wouldn't mind risking a loss to a mid-major.
Yeah.
In December.
Go and play at Butler, a program like
sure.
that, a perennial good mid-major.
Yeah. And do you think Butler's even considered a mid-major now?
By conference, they are.
By conference,
it's a well-known basketball program.
It's like Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga. Yeah. Was really
Wofford's a good example of that, I think.
Now, I would still consider it a mid-major.
Oh, I definitely think they're a mid-major.
But I don't think Gonzaga is.
No, Gonzaga by no stretch of the imagination.
But I think if you do that, because you know how it is in the tournament, you don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. When the seeding doesn't always mean as much as
the matchups.
Matchups. Yeah, how does your team match up with this kind of that kind of personnel and that kind of style?
It's true, and that's something that coaches certainly try to schedule to. You know, I covered Michigan State for three seasons, and that's kind of always a refrain around that program is wait till March with Tom Izzo, and they play a hard schedule early on. I think Tennessee is doing a great job of that as well. You know, we named the teams on the schedule this year. You look back to last year when they played Kansas and Louisville and Brooklyn, Gonzaga and Phoenix, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, which weren't great teams at that point, but are names from Power 5 conferences. West Virginia, Big 12. So again, you just see a schedule that stacks up pretty well with about anyone out there. And I think Tennessee is doing a good job of that, which is why I think it's an interesting one. I do think Tennessee needs Memphis for the rivalry perspective. And I like the recruiting comments on that too. But from a scheduling standpoint, they've got enough big games that they can say we've got a good schedule at this point.
Oh, I'm not arguing. I know they have a good schedule, but what I'm saying, you can have a better schedule. I don't think
Memphis makes it a better schedule without a doubt, every time they're on it.
And more fun
schedule, too.
Yeah, and I don't think you need to play Florida A&M. I don't think you need to play that kind of game.
Florida A&M needs to play Tennessee, though.
Well, yeah. Yes, it does.
Did you see their schedule before they came here?
No, I didn't.
They played every game on the road prior to coming here, and they flew in the night before from Kansas State. So they've just traveled the country, making all the athletic department money and getting a lot of losses in the process. But
well, their strength of schedule would be good.
Their strength of schedule would be good. Might not have that 500 record you like to see.
That record would hurt them, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. But come March, they'll have played a lot of different styles.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of talented teams. I just wonder, do you think, since we're talking about styles, Memphis, who else is similar to Memphis as Tennessee has played or is going to play? Would you say it's Kentucky-like and that it has?
No. The thing that Penny Hardaway is trying to do is very much what we're thinking John Calipari does, bringing in a bunch of new people every year and making them into a team. The one thing that I thought about Memphis last year was it was too AAU on the court.
Well, that's who Penny is.
That's Penny Hardaway's coaching. But, you know, he's had a year now in the college game, developed some players a little bit better, has a lot more talent as well this year, way better. Even without James Wiseman, they're far more talented than last year. But that was my issue with watching Memphis last year, was you saw so much raw talent, but Tyler Harris shot the ball way too many times for a 5'9 point guard in that game against Tennessee. Didn't run the offense. And I don't know that anyone Tennessee's seen so far this year compares. I think Memphis is the most raw talented team that Tennessee has seen so far. But they've also seen some veteran teams like Florida State and Washington, who was long and athletic. And I do think that's comparable to what Memphis brings in terms of just skill sets.
Yeah, I'm thinking, though, with Wiseman in there, then the size element goes way up for Memphis.
Wiseman in this game, I picked Tennessee to win this game, I think, by about 10. Wiseman in this game, I probably pick Memphis by one or two, just because I don't think Tennessee has anyone who has a shot of checking that guy. You know, they'd throw John Fulkerson at him, but John Fulkerson has foul trouble enough. And I think Wiseman is a nightmare matchup for Tennessee. So him not being in is quite significant for Tennessee strictly matching up with Memphis.
Well, I thought Florida State gave Tennessee problems with his size.
Depth was their thing, too.
The combination of size, depth, and athleticism.
I think they played 9 guys 14 minutes or more. Wow. Tennessee has 9 scholarship guys that can play at all right now.
Well, do you think Tennessee now, it's had a guy go pro early.
Two. Jordan Bone Ingram.
Yeah. So do you think Tennessee is going after those kind of guys more now than it has in the past, that it's willing to roll the dice on a guy and say, big-time player, we don't mind. We're not going to try and develop everybody. I mean, if this guy's a real deal and we bring him in here for 1 year, that's fine, too.
Yeah, I mean, look at the recruiting class Tennessee's got coming next year with Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, and Corey Walker. And I believe they have a commitment from the point guard, Santiago Biscovi, but I don't believe he is signed yet. But those three guys are all top 35, 36 guys in the country. I think Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson surely have a chance to be one and done. Very well could be. But my view on college basketball rosters is always having a mix of both. Some of those three-star guys who stick around for 3 years and have the culture that you want when you get those talented guys in. That's why I think what you see John Calipari do is so impressive. When he wins big with that, it's hard to have a new roster every year and instill the same things that you want to. So to answer your question, I think Tennessee is recruiting a little bit differently in terms of who they're getting. I'm sure they were chasing these caliber of guys earlier, but now they're having an actual shot to get them.
Well, I think when you mention Kentucky, too, he's also getting some players. Not everybody's one and done with Kentucky anymore.
Yeah.
I know that's kind of their goal, and that's what grad the system is built.
Grad transfers are big for them, too.
They can bring in a grad transfer who's new to Kentucky, but he's not new to college basketball. Yeah. So he, in fact, could be – that's another one and done guy. He's just 21, 22 years old. Yeah, so it's an interesting mix. It will be interesting to see if Penny Hardaway can pull that off.
It's not something everyone can do. You know, going back to, again, covering Michigan State, that's something Tom has always praised about John Calipari was it's hard to do that. It's hard to bring in 5-6 guys every year and develop them and coach them into a team before the end of the year hits. It's not an easy thing to do.
Penny's been so successful recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that's being recruited by Kentucky and Memphis.
James Wiseman.
Why does he decide on Memphis? Because Kentucky has such a track record. You come here a year and you go to the NBA, you make a lot of money and go on to a great career. Why does he go to Memphis instead?
With Wiseman, it was quite obviously ties to Penny Hardaway, ties to the city.
But if you don't have ties to Penny Hardaway, why would you go to Memphis?
You know, if I'm looking at both programs in that situation, you kind of got an option between a blue blood and kind of that wannabe blue blood sounds meaner than it's intended to be, but that program with a chip on its shoulder that wants to be next, wants to be tough, and that's what John Calipari did at Memphis 10, 12 years ago, was got a bunch of kids that had that chip on their shoulder. And I think that's part of it. And, I mean, I also think that Penny Hardaway, being that guy who played there, went on and did big things in the NBA, has such a great opportunity as a sales pitch, and his staff with Mike Miller on it, he's got a lot of guys who know the NBA, have been in the NBA, and I think that's a huge thing. And, you know, for Penny Hardaway, having been at Memphis, it's a nice pitch to be able to say how much that means to him and what he wants to do there. And I think that's a good sale to a top recruit.
Oh, I think anyone in the Memphis area, but when you start going out there and he's had one number one class to do that mm-hmm. consistently, do you think college players now relate to Penny as an NBA star?
No.
Or was that too long ago?
Too long ago.
Yeah.
One thing every college coach ever will say is that kids are recent. And that's why Tennessee is recruiting differently now. They've had recent success. People pay attention to who's recent. They're not worried about who won titles in the 60s and the 70s. They're not worried about the things that their parents saw. They see what they see now. And that's why if you transfer to football, a program like Nebraska doesn't recruit nearly as well because no one knows anymore that Nebraska was great for so long.
I know, it was this incredible dynasty.
Yeah, no one knows.
Or even Florida State, younger in football, when you're talking about mm-hmm. players now, high school players don't think Florida
even
State.
Even their most recent title was 6 years ago.
That's a long time.
High schoolers being recruited now, if they're a junior in high school, they were in fourth or fifth grade when that happened. That's not a thing anymore. So kids pay attention to what's so present. And Penny Hardaway's NBA career isn't present, but what Penny Hardaway is present in every other way right now in terms of the buzz, the attraction that they're getting, the shoe deal. I mean, all the things that go around it, very buzzworthy in everything they're able to do.
You're saying buzzworthy. Do you think it's also, do you think Penny, I mean, he said this, that he's going to be himself, but do you also think he sees a value in kind of being out there
yes.
and throwing the stuff out there about, hey,
and
look
I think there are
me,
a lot of recruits who like
us.
That.
Yes,
a lot of recruits who like that anti-establishment, that. He says he's going to be himself, and I think he is. And you see that, and you saw that with the James Wiseman decision to keep playing him, even in the face of knowing he was probably going to be suspended. I didn't understand that decision, but I also understand how that goes into that kind of mentality that he wants that program to have of it's us against everyone.
It's us against the establishment, too. The NCAA,
and
the mighty
NCAA. Recruits will buy into that. Recruits will buy into that. Fans will buy into that. The city of Memphis fits that so well. I mean, it's no wonder why that has such an attraction for the city that it does, because it's that us against everyone else mentality.
Well, and you look at Memphis as a program, it's not up there. It hasn't been up there at the highest level every year like the programs we've been talking about, mm-hmm. Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, those kind of programs. But it has its moments. It's more up and then a little down, more up, a little down. So, yeah, I think that's a – I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he will do long term there. But
you've got to win, too. I mean, that's – you can recruit as well as you want, but you've got to win at some point with those kids to keep getting them. I mean, kids want to come to college and win. That's why football recruits continue to go to Alabama, continue to go wherever. They want to go and win. Winning matters hugely. And Penny Hardaway is going to have to win with this roster in a way that John Calipari has shown he can in order to keep recruiting at that level, to me.
And also, I think kids want to play with other big-time players.
Absolutely. Yeah, you see that.
Your point guard wants a big post guy. Mm-hmm. He can he can lob the ball to, and the post guy wants a world-class point guard that can get him the ball when he's open. So, yeah.
All right, everyone, that is all from us this week. Tune in Saturday to see Tennessee-Memphis round two and see what happens. Hopefully it's more low-key than last year because that was a months-long nightmare. Hi, I'm Mike Wilson, and I cover Tennessee basketball for Knox News. One thing I love about my job is being able to bring unique stories about the Tennessee basketball team to light. Every day I get to do this through the relationships built, and it's awesome because these players and the team is more than just the games that you see on the court at Thompson Bowling Arena. Without the support of Knox News, I would never be able to do this rewarding job that I love. If you want to hear more stories like this, consider becoming a subscriber by going to knoxnews.com/subscribe. Thank you for listening, and thank you for reading.